Hello and welcome to Under New Management, the podcast that examines new and notable management research and how this research can enhance your effectiveness as a manager in your organization. I'm Mike Johnson, an assistant professor of management and organization at the Foster School of Business at the University of Washington in Seattle. In today's episode, we talk with Jay Carson, an assistant professor of management and organization in the Cox School of Business at Southern Methodist University in Dallas. We talk about a paper that he recently published in the Academy of Management Journal with his co-authors Paul Teslick and Jennifer Marone on the topic of shared leadership in teams. Well, Jay Carson, welcome to Under New Management.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Well, Jay, can you explain the concept of shared leadership to us?
Well, shared leadership is a characteristic of teams, and it emerges when leadership is distributed across multiple team members rather than focused on a single designated leader. And you can think of it as maybe mutual influence, where many team members are exercising leadership at different times and in different ways. So when you think about shared leadership, team members are both leading and also following one another. Another way to think about shared leadership is in contrast to what Craig Pierce and Hank Sims have referred to as vertical leadership. Vertical leadership would be where leadership influence flows only in a downward direction from a single person who has formal authority over a team.
Well, that's interesting. It's very different from the way we normally think of leadership, isn't it? I mean, we think of
like
sports teams have a coach or corporations have a CEO. We tend to kind of think of leadership vested in one person, but you look at this completely differently.
Yeah, it is a bit of a change. I found that a lot of times people think of a leader, but at the same time, leadership is often exercised by more than just the person who has the designated leadership position.
All right. Well, can you tell us how you became interested in studying shared leadership?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. There's a couple of ways. The first is as a result of my own personal experience, being in sports teams, being in organizations. And I noticed that leadership often was focused on how to arrive at a position of formal authority, and once you get there, how to perform well. However, I noticed in several organizations that I worked for that I realized there really were opportunities for me and other of my coworkers to exercise leadership, and that some of the best performing teams that I've been a part of did not have just a single strong leader who was trying to call all the shots and direct all the traffic. So from personal experience, I observed that often when leadership is exercised by many team members, that seemed to have a positive outcome. Then once I got into academia, I also developed an interest in studying shared leadership. When I arrived at graduate school, I had the good fortune to work with Hank Sims and also was quickly introduced to work by his colleague Craig Pierce, who was doing work on shared leadership, and quickly resonated and found that as an opportunity to explore some of these things that I had noticed in my own previous work experience.
Well, were there specific factors that you expected would relate to the emergence of shared leadership in teams?
Yeah, there are a number of possibilities. Craig Pierce and Jay Conger actually wrote a book on shared leadership, and in that book they list a whole host of potential factors that might lead to shared leadership. But we thought the best place to start was with the conditions in the team itself, and then also looking at the level of supportive coaching by the team's external leader. So first, we thought that the overall conditions just need to be right within the team. And there's a set of three conditions that we came up with that we thought would be particularly important for shared leadership to emerge. The first one is the team needs to have a shared purpose. And a shared purpose is a focus on the team's collective goals and also a similar understanding of what its purpose or its primary objectives are. Then the second condition is social support, which involves encouragement and recognizing one another as teammates. When that happens, team members feel valued and appreciated within the team, and that gives them a sense of emotional and psychological support and strength to one another. And then the third condition is what we wound up calling voice. And voice is basically participation and input into how the team carries out its purpose. So when teams have high levels of voice, then team members have increased levels of engagement and involvement in the team. They're also willing to constructively challenge one another within the team and generally have an increased commitment to the team's decisions and purpose. So basically these three conditions we think work together with one another, shared purpose, social support, and voice, such that whenever all three of them are there, a team is more likely to exhibit shared leadership or for shared leadership to emerge. And it's important to note that all three are important. You can think about a team that perhaps might have high levels of shared purpose and social support, but if there's not that opportunity for voice, then they might still rely on a single leader to lead them. Or you can think of teams that maybe have high levels of social support and lots of involvement from everyone, but if they don't have a shared purpose, then they might be a little bit like the rider on the horse who tried to ride off in four directions at once. So all three of these conditions need to kind of reinforce one another in order for shared leadership to emerge.
So it's sort of like a three-legged stool. You need all three there to balance properly.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now those were all internal things for the team, but you talk about external factor of coaching from a formal leader?
Right. So the second factor we thought that was important, in addition to the conditions within the team, is the level of supportive coaching that can also affect the emergence of shared leadership. And most teams, even when they are fairly autonomous, still have someone that they are reporting to. And that person that they're reporting to, often in order for shared leadership to emerge, could take on more of a coaching role rather than a fairly directive role. So some examples of ways that an external leader could help shared leadership develop is by encouraging and reinforcing leadership to be exercised by all team members rather than sort of taking the reins for everything. A second thing they can do is provide support to the team that helps that team build a shared commitment to one another. And also, they can help the team develop a shared understanding of different ways to approach the task or task strategies whenever those are needed by the team. And all of those activities by an external leader support the team developing its own internal leadership.
And then you also expected that if teams did develop this sort of internal shared leadership, that they would perform better than teams that kind of relied on one person for leadership?
Correct. There was some evidence in research already that showed that there were some potential performance benefits of using a shared approach to leadership. And based on that and also the theory that we developed about these conditions, we felt like that would lead to higher levels of performance by the team.
Okay. So how did you go about studying it?
Well, we decided to look at consulting teams. And these consulting teams were engaging in projects that lasted for about 5 months. And they were a typical kind of consulting project that you would imagine where they were assessing some sort of problem or some sort of need that a client had and trying to provide a solution or recommendations of how to address that problem or need. And so we looked at those teams, and we also were able to get data from the clients that those teams were serving in order to rate the performance of the teams. And we took a unique approach to looking at shared leadership. Instead of measuring it as a series of behaviors, we decided to take what's called a social network approach, where basically we examined what we call the leadership network within a team. And basically a leadership network is simply who relies on who for leadership in the team. In other words, a team that has a very high level of shared leadership would have most, if not all, members indicating that all of their fellow members were sources of leadership for them.
And what were your primary findings?
Well, first of all, we found that, fortunately, shared leadership did show a very strong effect on team performance. And we thought this was really interesting, again, because the way that we measured performance was not simply by asking the team how well it thought that it did.
Right, because self-rated performance, you'd expect a bias in them reporting about their own performance.
Correct. And also there can be a bias if we had asked their leader or their supervisor to rate their performance, because a lot of times the leader or supervisor will rate both the process that the team uses and also the outcomes. So in these teams, we actually were asking their client to rate performance, and the clients were not able to observe most of the process that the team had used. They simply were presented a deliverable that addressed the need or the problem that they had presented to the team and evaluated the quality of how well that deliverable met their needs and their expectations and was something that was going to be useful to them as an organization. And so shared leadership was a very, very strong predictor of that performance rated by their clients.
Okay, and what predicted shared leadership?
Well, we looked at both of the factors that I discussed earlier. first of all, the internal team environment, and found that when all three of those conditions, shared purpose, social support, and voice, were present in a team, that that led to higher levels of shared leadership. And we also found that higher levels of supportive coaching by the team's external leader led to higher levels of shared leadership within the team. So both the internal team environment and the external coaching were important factors for shared leadership to develop.
But then you also found an interesting interaction between those two, didn't you?
That's correct. We also found that each of those things interact with one another. And basically, external coaching was less important for teams that already had a strong internal team environment for shared leadership. But for teams that had a very weak or unsupportive environment for shared leadership, external coaching was crucial for those teams to be able to develop shared leadership.
Interesting. So if the team was already good, you know, in terms of those three internal factors you mentioned, then external coaching didn't matter so much.
Right. There was almost no difference. However, whenever those three conditions were lacking, a good supportive external leader could make up for that lack in terms of helping the team to develop shared leadership.
That's very interesting. Can you generalize this to organizations? Now, what are some of the practical applications of this research then for organizations?
That's a great question. I think that our research should be practical, and I think there's a number of applications. First of all, I think obviously in terms of the performance benefits that we were able to demonstrate through our study, organizations should seek to develop strong internal patterns of shared leadership within their teams in order to improve the team's effectiveness. I think there's a number of specific things that organizations can do to try to help this happen. First of all, they can set expectations for shared leadership in their organization. One example of this would be expressing shared leadership as a value of the organization, or also developing norms of shared leadership within their team. A second thing they can do is to encourage the team members to view themselves and also other team members as leaders. I think whenever team members are able to develop an expectation that they are both empowered to provide leadership and also expected to provide leadership, then the likelihood of shared leadership increases. Another thing that organizations can do is provide training on how to cultivate an internal team environment that is able to support shared leadership. So those three factors that we talked about of having a shared purpose, developing social support for one another, and enabling voice by all team members are important for shared leadership and are things that can be trained. And then finally, I think obviously we also talked about the importance of the external coach and not just the environment in the teams. So in terms of an application for organizations, I think it's important that they consider training their external leaders in how to provide these supportive types of coaching behaviors that will allow for shared leadership to develop within the teams that they're managing.
Well, this is a great piece of research, Jay. Can you give us the bottom line for managers?
Well, I think there's really a couple of things. First, it's important for managers to remember that teams do well when they rely on leadership provided by the team as a whole rather than looking to a single individual to lead them. And second, managers also play a very important role in fostering and encouraging the kind of environment that enables shared leadership to develop in teams.
Great. Well, we've been talking with Jay Carson, assistant professor at Southern Methodist University. Jay, thanks again for being on the podcast.
It was my pleasure. Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you for downloading Under New Management, a podcast of the Organizational Behavior Division of the Academy of Management. The OB division has over 5,000 members dedicated to the science and practice of organizational behavior. For more information about the OB division, visit www.obweb.org. For more information about the Academy of Management and its over 17,000 members worldwide, visit www.aomonline.org. Computer support for this podcast is provided by Vu Tran.